Good morning. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, number 387, O To Be Like Thee.
Be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to each of you. So good to see each of you here this morning. Just a wonderful, beautiful morning, and we gather to worship, to praise the Lord, and just to sing His praises. So praise the Lord for that. Just a few announcements as we begin. Just one particular announcement. I want you to just be mindful that this evening we will be having our ice cream social here. We're not exactly sure yet whether it'll be outside or not. It might be too hot for ice cream, but we'll make that decision a little bit later if we're inside or outside. But I would encourage you to bring your lawn chairs just in case, if that's okay. But planning on being here at 6:30, and the Heavens Mountain Band will be here to entertain us, and of course there'll be plenty of good ice cream, so I hope that you are able to come out and just enjoy this wonderful event of fellowship here in our congregation. So hope that you take advantage of that. Also, just a reminder that next week I will be away for my continued education in Pennsylvania. Brethren Bible Institute is what I'll be participating in, and it's at the Elizabethtown College there in Pennsylvania. So again, deacons will be available if there's an emergency that arises. You should certainly reach out to one of your deacons, and you can always reach me by cell phone. Of course, that still works in Pennsylvania, so if you need me, certainly, just give me a ring. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Thank you. Would you stand with me and join me in this morning's call to worship? You'll find this in the bulletin there. This coming from portions of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul writes and says, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart. For God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's turn in our hymnals, page 389, More About Jesus, page 389. You just want to know more and more about Jesus. Isn't that why we're here today? To know more about Jesus, to receive more Jesus, to discern His will in our life, to receive His love more fully. We want to know more and more about Jesus. I really truly love the old hymns. I know there's a lot of contemporary music that's really cool and all that stuff, but hey, you're singing the Word, aren't you? You are singing the Word, and we want to know more and more about Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that we can come here this morning and seek more of You in our life. Truly, Lord, that's what we desire. That's what we need. We want less of the worldly things in our life, less of the fleshly things in our life. We want less of Satan's temptations in our life, and we want more and more of You. Lord, the good things that we see happening in our life, the wonderful things that we receive, Lord, the wonderful experience that we have when we are with You, Lord, we want more of that in our life. Lord, we're seeking to be filled with more of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that each of us have a thirst here this morning, that we come seeking to be to receive more of your Son Jesus here this morning. Lord, help us, I pray, in that search and in that desire, Lord. And just fill us, I pray, with all the good, wonderful things that is your Son. Lord, we praise His name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests or praises. Just want to say quick a thank you to all those that helped last Sunday with my absence here. Those that led worship, Susan, thank you so much for that. And for Kathy being here as well, we certainly appreciate her coming and sharing with us. And we look forward to next steps for Kathy. I kind of heard through the grapevine that she may be taking a church soon. So we just pray for her and her discernment and direction and Lord's leading for her. Just excited for all that God is doing through her ministry. So keep her in your prayers and continue to pray for Kathy and the next step ahead for her and whatever that is. But we sure appreciate her coming. I just heard great things about her message and her being here, and really appreciate you you being here as well to show her your support. Also, by way of prayer requests now, I have just a couple names here that had been mentioned to me. First of all, would you put Otis Dove, and maybe you don't recognize that name, but Bambi and Kevin Dean, that is Bambi Dean's grandfather. And they usually are sitting in the back. Of course, they're not here this morning, but Otis is 102 years old, and he has COVID. And so if you would, they said he's not doing real well. If you would, just be in prayer for him. He is getting treatment for that, different therapies that they're trying. But we just want to keep Otis in our prayers. Again, that's Bambi Dean's grandfather. Really, the whole household where he lives ended up catching it. She told me that Yvette had it, and Dooner and Brett. So that's pretty much everyone in that whole household, as well as Otis. So would you just continue to be in prayer for that family and for Otis? Also, we want to continue to pray for Faye Hall. I know that maybe it was shared last Sunday as well that Faye had a cataract surgery that hasn't went so well, and she's still trying to recover and get her vision back from that. So if you would, just continue to lift Faye up in prayer. I hadn't got any current update, but from last I heard, they were continuing to search out doctors and try to get opinions on what might be causing her continued vision problems. Also, would you continue to pray for my granddad, Vance Knott, and Pauline? Vance and Pauline are usually here on Sunday, but they have just been struggling with different things. So if you would, just continue to put them on your prayer list as well. And also, Deborah is not here this morning because she was not feeling well. Be at peace, though. We took a COVID test, and it was negative, so I think we're good, but she just wanted to rest a little bit and to maybe go to the doctor this morning and see what's going on. So be in prayer for her as well. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time, Megan? Okay.
And her service was Wednesday.
Okay.
So just keep the approved family in your prayers. I know some people know who she is in the congregation.
If you didn't hear that, would you just be in prayer for the Croom family? It's a neighbor there of Megan. In Parnassus there. And if you would, just be in prayer for that family, for the Croom family, for this loss of Carol. So thank you, Megan, for updating us on that, and we certainly will be praying for the family now for the loss of Carol. Other prayer requests, Lee?
My cousin, Gail Hackett.
Okay.
She had knee replacement surgery, and after that, she broke her femur.
Okay.
And it was getting better, and then she broke it again.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate there. Gail, what'd you say the last name? Packett. Okay. Certainly be in prayer for her. That to recover twice from that, that's no fun. So thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Dan, did you?
We just had
Okay.
The singing group made a call this morning and said that one of the singers or somebody in the media family was tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
They all been around them, and they feel like that they better cancel for the singer this evening.
Okay. Well, Dan, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
We can understand that. It seems to be a rise of this, isn't it, now, again, the COVID. I know various people have come down with it again. And so, Dan, appreciate you answering the phone. That's an important phone call. Yeah. Somebody may want to talk to Michelle. She might be at the store getting ice cream right now. Bruce, you might want to call her. And yeah, give. Yeah, we could. Yeah, we sure could. I'm for that. I mean, that's fine. Maybe just talk to Michelle and we'll get a decision by the end of the service on what we're going to do there. Just have it. Yeah. Yeah. Who says we have it? Raise your hand. Lee. Hey, yeah, we could, you know, we could have a hymn sing, couldn't we? Of course, it could be a cappella. We haven't secured the Janet. That puts her on the spot a little bit because the other Janet's away. Good, so.
I won't have time to practice.
Yeah. It'll be an a cappella hymn sing. How's that? Yeah, but even the fellowship is good, isn't it? So maybe we'll just, I don't see any reason not. We'll see what Bruce says. Thank you, Dan, for sharing that. Yeah. Pam?
I'd like you to add Sherman Conley.
Okay.
I've worked with his wife. He's been in the hospital for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
He does have COVID.
Okay. Pam, thank you. That's Sherman Conley, if you would, and has COVID. Just be in prayer for him and his recovery from that. Other prayer requests? Mom or Debbie? Deborah? Debbie? Yeah.
The little girl that's in St. Jude.
Okay.
They were giving her the high power drugs, and she made it through that. And they were really blessed with all the prayers because they didn't have to, she didn't fight them too much with taking the baths and all that. And now they have inserted her bone marrow back in.
Okay.
And so she's on her fifth day of the bone marrow being back in. And so she just wanted to thank everybody for their prayers.
Okay.
And again, this is just the first one.
Right. So. Just continue to pray. This is the little girl from the Churchville area and is getting treatment for cancer. So if you would just continue to be in prayer for this little girl. And just praise the Lord for these treatments as they hopefully resolve this cancer.
Natalie and Nicole.
Yes. Natalie and Nicole. Joanne, did you have your...
Yeah, I don't know if y'all heard about the Campbell. I'm pretty sure where that's been, Campbell from down to Shenandoah. The father got shot, dad, and his son got shot. And he's and already had three surgeries and got more. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
The guy shot him or anything. They do have him in custody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Campbell family.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the last name's Campbell.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne.
From Shenandoah.
Thank you, Joanne. Anyone else? Nancy?
Janet and Charlie and I went to see Virginia last week.
Okay, good.
And she's doing well.
Praise the Lord.
I'm sure cards and that sort of thing. She likes hearing about the people.
Yep. And I believe we have her information in the directory.
Correct
information's there. You can just put on there, just Moscow Church. She'll know.
Yes, about the church.
Yep, she'll know that and remember that. And so I'm so glad you were able to be there and Janet and visit. So praise the Lord for that. And thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Right.
They are going to move Sam to a Bridgewater home.
Yeah.
So they were asking for prayers to transition from being with Dan and Linda down to the Bridgewater home.
Yeah, I heard that a few weeks ago as well, and I know that Sam was actually looking forward to it in some ways. So praise the Lord for that. That can be a difficult transition, and we just praise God that he's looking forward to being there. So if you would lift up Sam Lamb in your prayers and for this transition to Bridgewater home. Bruce? Has she bought the ice cream?
She's fine with either way we want to go. We'll continue to have it.
I think we will. If any time we could just have a little bit of fellowship together and that'd be great. So
that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Do some singing?
Yeah. I might have said yeah to that too fast. I don't know.
Thanks, Bruce.
Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call our ushers to come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. You bow your heads with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you here in this moment, Lord, offering to you our thanks and our praise, offering to you our heartfelt devotion of love and gratitude, and Lord, our praise for you and your Son Jesus. Even in the offering that we bring forth here in this moment, Lord, we seek to honor you and to glorify you in our life. Lord, those offerings that we present to you represent a piece of us. And Lord, they represent our devotion to you, and our thanks to you. Lord, we thank you for our answered prayers. Lord, as we seek and pray to you, we continue to hear those stories of answered prayers. And Lord, we know it's because that you are answering those prayers that these things are happening. Lord, this is not by circumstance, but Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, and Lord, you seek to answer them in your time. And for that, Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you as well just for the blessing of having you in our life, your presence in our life, Lord. What a blessing it is that we do not walk this world alone, Father, that you are there, and Lord, we walk hand in hand. Each step we take, Lord, that you are taking with us. And Father, we thank you for that. Bless us, I pray, on this Sunday of worship, Lord, even this evening as we gather. Our plans may have changed some, but Lord, we know that your hand is in it, and Lord, you will continue to bless our time of fellowship and communion together, Lord, with you. And Lord, that you will strengthen us in our unity, and Lord, that you will strengthen us in our responsibility of continuing to share your word, your hope, and your light to a world that is so hurting around us. Lord, there are so many people right just around us, Lord, that don't know, haven't experienced your goodness. Lord, they don't know your truths. And Lord, I just pray you use this church, the Church of Moscow, to continue to declare your glory and your goodness to all the world. Father, we praise you now and we glorify you and your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. And in your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Exodus. Interesting place. I don't know that I've preached a whole lot out of Exodus. I probably should preach more. But we're going to turn here to the Old Testament story here in Exodus. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Looking at really this offering that was brought from the children of Israel to God for the establishing of a tabernacle. And the title of the sermon is God Calls Us to Have a Giving Heart. And that's what we will see here as God calls on the children of Israel to have this giving heart, a heart that desires to give unto God. Just a natural response out of our love and devotion for God that we want to give of our time, of our treasures, and of our talents. Those are three ways in which we give to God of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures. And God wants that response from us. And that's what he asked for the children of Israel to give unto him, as we'll see here as they are preparing to make this sanctuary for the Lord, this tabernacle that they will carry through the wilderness. And as they're preparing to build this beautiful tabernacle, this sanctuary, places where God would dwell with them. So let's look here, verse 1, chapter 25, book of Exodus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold and silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. Verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it. Now, as you see here, God is calling on Israel to collect those things, the materials that will be needed into making this grand tabernacle, this sanctuary that will be carried with the children of Israel through the wilderness after their leaving of Egypt. Of course, they're traveling to the promised land, and this is the tabernacle in which they will carry through the wilderness in which God will dwell. You kind of think of the tabernacle sort of like a church, because it was there in this place that Moses would go in, or the high priest would enter in, and they would speak to God in that place, in this tabernacle. And so the tabernacle was a very important building with a very important purpose, but to build it, to build this structure, they were going to need to take an offering and to receive those resources needed to build this this building. And of course, you can see here of some of the precious materials that were called out to Israel on to the Israelites for them to offer to make this. Use precious metals and stones and hides and even cloth, we see here, and linen, and all sorts of different things that would go to make this tabernacle. The tabernacle was a rectangular-shaped building. It was about 150 feet long. It was about 75 feet wide. So it's a pretty good size building that they were receiving the materials for. And inside it even had interior rooms, one in particular, which was 15 feet by 45 feet, which itself then was divided into two smaller spaces. And this was called the holy place and the most holy place. And that's where these, inside this tabernacle, inside the holy place, you would find the candlesticks, you would find the unleavened bread there on the table. A table with unleavened bread and even an incense that they would burn there before the Lord. So it had a very specific purpose, and the Lord was calling on them to gather up the materials to make this room. You know, this room that was separated by a curtain was called the Holies of Holies. And there inside this particular room, this most holy place in the tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And of course, that was just a small box that contained the Ten Commandments. It contained a jar of manna, and it contained Aaron's rod, which had budded. And so these things all were there within the tabernacle. And of course, in the Holy of Holies, that was the most inner room in which only a priest could enter once a year to sacrifice the sins, sacrifice for the sins of the people. And of course, the tabernacle was made as a frame with a wooden frame with skins that covered it. And of course, all these different materials spun with even gold and animal skins. Wood was covered with silver and gold. It was all kind of gold plated. And the altar and the furnishings were all either silver or gold plated. They had precious stones laid on them. And notice there, God gave them exact blueprint to build and create everything, according to all that I show you, verse 9. That is the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it. So God gave them the exact pattern of how all of this was to be built, and then I guess the list of the materials that they would need to make such a building. And so they constructed this and from all these materials. And of course, this is where we get our lesson today. It's estimated that to build some sort of tabernacle like this today, that it would cost in the tens of millions of dollars. Of course, you know, just an ounce of gold a day is almost $2,000. And so they'd kind of estimated what it would take to make such a building today with the amount of gold and the amount of silver and some of the other precious things, stones and whatnot, and they think anywhere from $12 to $13 million just for this tabernacle. I think a lot of that is probably in gold and silver alone it would take to coat and cover all these precious items. So it was a costly structure. It was quite a an offering that was being asked of from the Israelites. Certainly it would be an offering even today, a grand offering even today that God was calling for by today's standards and practices. And so this is what God was calling on. He wanted the children of Israel to be willing to offer up from what they have to give to God that they might build this precious tabernacle. I guess the question could be asked of us today, what are we willing to give God? Kind of what was asked of Israel. What are you willing to give to God when it comes to this tabernacle? What are you willing to offer to God when it comes to your time and your talents and your treasures? When God set forth a call to His people to give, the question really was, what were they willing to offer? For Israel, God was asking for a lot, and I think today God continues to ask for a lot from us. Charles Spurgeon says, "It is beyond the realm of possibility that one has the ability to outgive God." Isn't that a wonderful saying? That no matter how much we give to God, even if it's a grand amount, that we are unable to outgive God. That it is beyond the realm of possibilities that we can give more to God than God has given to us. And I think that's just something to keep in mind as we are called on to give, that we remember that no matter what God calls on us to give, that it doesn't compare to that which God has given to us. Now, God gave a few standards to the Israelites on how they were to give and which way they were to give. And I think these standards still apply to the church today, to each one of us, and how that we should give. And I want to kind of lift these things up here in our scripture today. First of all, it was the standard of giving that everyone was called on to make an offering. Notice there, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering." God is speaking to all the children of Israel. It didn't matter if they were rich or if they were poor, if they were high class or middle class or lower class, that God was calling on each one of them to give as they could. There was no exclusions here. God wasn't pointing to just a certain group to give, but God was pointing to all of them. Notice some were able to bring gold, some were able just to bring thread, but they both brought, didn't they? Some brought silver and others brought animal skin. So you can see the difference in the offering that was brought, but yet everything was received to make the temple. Everyone had a part. Everyone contributed as they could. "Speak to the children of Israel," it says, "that they may bring me an offering." Do you know why God calls on all of us to give? You ever thought of that? Why does He call on us to give at all? Do you think God really needs anything? He doesn't, does He? He can accomplish this mission without us giving 1 cent. He doesn't need anything. The Bible says the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You look up at the stars and think of all the resources that God has. He doesn't need our resources. So why does God call on us to give? Well, it's because God is a giving God, isn't He? Think of all that God has given us. Think of all that God has given you in your life. So much, isn't it? even just starting right at the very beginning, life, right? Gave you life, breathed life into you. So God gives us so much. And He wants us to have that same heart of God, that is a giving heart, a heart that desires to give. Do you know what distinguishes between the heart of the Pharisees and the heart of a true disciple? The Pharisees wanted to hoard everything up for themselves, didn't they? Remember all the money changers? They were all about the money, weren't they? Stacks and stacks and stacks. They just wanted money, money, money. They wanted these things for themselves. But the heart of the true disciple was really a heart of a true child of God is one that desires to give unto God. Not one that tries to hold on to everything. I want you to turn to Mark because you can see this really clearly in Mark chapter 12. New Testament story here. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Remember this story about the widow's two mites? And this is just an amazing story that we see here. Now, if you remember the context of this, Jesus is kind of pointing out the difference between the heart of the Pharisees and the heart here of this little widow who gets all that she has. And he kind of points the finger at these Pharisees, calling out the main difference here is that this woman, she gives while they gave very little. Notice here it says, verse 41, now Jesus said opposite the treasury. The treasury was really this kind of this bin with a horn, kind of a tuba-shaped horn that was metal and they would put money in it and it would go down into the treasury box. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. And so he called the disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who gave to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she put in out of her poverty. And she put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." This kind of this evaluation from Jesus saying, look, these Pharisees, they put in a whole lot, but they don't put out. They don't put it sacrificially. It's no sacrifice to it. There's no pain to it. It doesn't hurt when they give. They give out of their abundance, but she gives out of her poverty. Assuredly, he says, I say to you, this woman has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. You know, what is the standard for today's giving to God? Well, some say 10%, right? Some might say 15 or even go on up to 20%. I don't necessarily believe that the New Testament standard that Jesus gives us is a percent. It's not an amount, nor is it in abundance, but it is the standard of sacrifice. How much are we willing to sacrifice for God? Her gift was a gift of sacrifice. It cost her something. It hurt. And she felt it. You know, someone once said, and I think it's a wise statement, God doesn't look at just what we give. He also looks at what we keep. Boy, doesn't that put things in perspective? Kind of a wise statement, isn't it? God doesn't necessarily just look at what we put in, but He looks at what we're still holding onto for ourselves. She gave sacrificially. I believe that's the New Testament standard that God calls on us to give, sacrificially. Do you give to God like this poor widow, or do you give like the Pharisees? Do you give sacrificially? What is the real cost of your generosity to God? What does it cost you? That's the first standard we see here. God calls on everyone to give, and He calls us to give sacrificially. Now, the second standard here that we see of giving is that they were to bring God their very best. I want you to notice here the sort of things that God is asking for. Precious stones and fine metals, silver, and fine cloth. You know, these garments that were dyed in red. These were very costly things. They were not cheap things by any means, but they were costly things that God was asking for. The very best. I preached a sermon once, I remember back, and I titled it, Not Giving God Your Leftovers. You ever remember that sermon? Maybe you don't. I hardly remember it myself, and I preached it. But giving God your leftovers, this idea of just giving God what is left, not the very first. You know, God calls for our first fruits, doesn't He? When God called on Israel to give, He called them to give their very best, their first fruits, the first animals that were born among their flocks. This was all under the law. He wanted the very first. He didn't want kind of the afterthought or the leftovers of our life. God wanted us to give Him our very best. It represented Him being first, not last. You think of giving someone leftovers, giving God leftovers. If someone really important was to come to your house, would you serve them leftovers? Would you serve them last night's meal? Now think of if the governor and his wife in Virginia, the first lady, were coming to your house this evening for dinner. Would you run to the store and try to prepare a really nice meal for them? Or would you say, well, we had pot roast last night, and there's some left. Maybe the governor will like that. Of course, leftovers are good, though, aren't they? I mean, we got to admit there's some truth to that. You get what I'm saying, though, right? Would you offer the governor your leftovers? They were coming to your house. You say, I've got some old cold stuff in the fridge there. It smells good. Would you like to sit down and eat this? No, we would give them our very best. Yet, in some weird way, we'll do the very opposite when it comes to God. Well, God, I'll give you the leftovers in my life. When it comes to my time, it's me first. I'm going to put me first and all the things that I enjoy doing, all the wonderful things that I have planned for me. And then if there's a little bit of time left, okay, I'll give God that peace. See how it works? Comes to my talents. Well, I'm going to use my talents to serve me first. And then if there's some left over, I'll give that to God. Serve Him as well. And we do the same with our treasures. Somebody said, you can know where a person's heart is by just looking at their checkbook. Boy, I think that's so true. Where does a person give their leftovers? Is it to God? God's standard is first fruits. He wants our first. God doesn't want to be an afterthought, does He? He doesn't want to be a leftover in your life. God wants to be the very best. And if He is the very best, then He wants you to give Him the very best. He give God the very best, not our leftovers. Okay, the second standard there, they were to bring God their very best, noted by all the wonderful things that we see here on their list that God is calling for. Third standard that God is giving to the children of Israel, that they were to offer their gifts willingly. Note there again in verse 2, bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. God hasn't any desire to receive from us that which we do not want to give to Him. God wants those gifts that we bring and that we're excited and willing and desire to give to Him, doesn't He? He wants those gifts that we desire. Note there in your call to worship, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you've kind of read this, but I say, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart. And notice there, God loves a cheerful giver. That's a willing giver, isn't it? Someone that is willing. God loves this cheerful giver, not a giver that gives reluctantly or not one that gives out of compulsion, but rather one that gives because they desire and are willing to give that gift. God doesn't want a gift from us with an unwilling attitude. And He wants us to bring an offering that is from the right attitude of the heart. You know, it reminds me of sometimes when I ask the boys to do something. You know, maybe you ask them to clean their room or to take out the trash. Of course, you've all experienced this. Sometimes they're not quite willing as you would hope they would be. You can sense in their voice and their attitude that while they might do it, they don't want to do it. And, you know, as a parent, you kind of want to have your children want to do things, don't you? I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? Not that they're just doing it, but they actually see the good in it. And they're doing it for you. They're doing it to help you. They're doing it because they've been asked to do it. They're doing it willingly. Isn't that really what we're looking for? That they're doing it willingly rather than kind of grudgingly. So much more pleasing as a father or mother when your children are doing things willingly. Oh, they cleaned the room. I didn't have to get on them and I didn't have to hound them to get the room picked up. They willingly did it. They wanted to do it. They wanted to keep their room nice. They wanted to get their chores done. Boy, that just makes all the difference in the world as a parent, doesn't it? Don't you think God feels the same way when we offer an offering to Him? We do these things and we're willing to do it. We desire to do it. We want to do it. Don't you think God just looks down and says, oh, thank you. I'm just so pleased with my child. He or she's doing exactly what they need to be doing. And they're doing it willingly, not grudgingly, not because they have to, but because they want to. You know, something else right there in that 2 Corinthians, notice that he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And he who sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. What a law, a spiritual law that you can put in your bank, that all those things that you give to God, you will reap good things bountifully because of it. And all those things you keep for yourself, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Adrian Rogers says, whenever we give to God, God gives back. You can't outgive God. And he also says, it's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. Very true. God wants us to have a heart that desires to give. One that desires to give and recognizes that as much as we give to God, that God desires to give to you. You know, one of the best things you can do in your life is to invest yourself, your time, your talents, and your treasures in the things of God. Because you will reap benefits from that. You're going to reap benefits in your married life. You're going to reap benefits in your personal life. You're going to reap benefits in your job life. All these different places of your life, as much as you are giving to God, sowing these things to God, your time, your talents, and your treasures, God says, I am going to bless you because of that. If you sow to me bountifully, I will bless you bountifully. And that just, it's just an amazing thing. It's so true. It's so wonderful that as much as you invest in God, God is investing in you. And that's those are wonderful things that we want. We want peace in our life, don't we? We want contentment. We want happiness. We want joy. We want to experience all these things. And God says, if you just invest that in me, I'll invest that as well in you. Okay, last standard here. Fourth standard we see in giving is that their offering was to come from the heart. Someone said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. What that means is that when we love and our heart is full of our love for Jesus, that our desire is to give. It's not forced, it's not coerced, it's not demanded, but our hearts want to give for the right reasons. I want to give you here just real quickly three reasons, and I'm just going to repeat them here. Wrong reasons to give. Wrong reasons to give. One is to gain God's favor. That is that you're trying to buy your salvation or your eternal life or God's good favor towards you. There's no amount of money that's going to purchase your salvation. There was one price that was paid for that, and that's the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can replace that. There's no amount of money, no offering that you can give that can replace the gift of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. If you're giving to gain God's favor, you're giving for the wrong reasons. Number two, you can't give to twist God's arm. Maybe you think, well, if I just give enough, I can somehow get God to do exactly what I want Him to do. Whether it's prayer request or something else, you can't twist God's arm with your giving. And lastly, to impress others. We're not to give to impress others. You know, the Bible talks about don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know, this idea that you're giving just so others might see you and say, "Whoa, wow, look at that. Isn't that a wonderful thing that they're doing?" If you're giving for that reason, you, again, the wrong heart. It's about having the right heart of giving an offering. It's not so that we gain something, but it's that we give something to God and our desire to give something to God. That's the right heart. And that's the heart that God called on Israel to give to Him for this tabernacle. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this lesson again on stewardship and on giving. Lord, it reminds us that, Lord, You have called on each one of us to give. But Lord, You have set standards by which we are to bring forth our offering unto You. Lord, we don't do it to impress others. Lord, we don't do it to twist Your arm. Lord, we don't do it to try to earn favor in Your kingdom. But Lord, we do it because of who You are, that You are God and that there is no other. And it's out of our desire, out of our love for You, that our desire is to give unto You. Father, You have given us so much already. Most of all, You have given us Your Son. Lord, we thank You for Him. Lord, we praise You for Him. We thank You for Jesus. Let His name be lifted up above every other name. And Lord, we have received of His goodness in our life, and it's because of that, Lord, that we seek to give unto You and to bless You and honor You and to sacrificially bring an offering before You. Lord, transform our hearts here at Moscow into giving hearts, that we may have the same heart as You. Father, we praise You now. Bless this word to our ears and to our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, Lee, we have an announcement.
Yes, we have an announcement. Since we don't have the band or the music, Leon has agreed. Leon did a mission trip.
Oh. Praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. Yes. I was going to say, on spur of the moment, too, Leon, we thank you for how talented you are and prepared, apparently. Leon, we thank you. Even if it took that, we sure appreciate you coming and this evening to share that with. I'm looking forward to that. What a change, but a good change. And I know we're going to enjoy that, especially just seeing the pictures and hearing about your recent mission work there in Honduras. So, Thank you, Leon. Yeah, we appreciate that. Let's give Leon a round of applause. That's short notice, and we really appreciate that, Leon. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's undeserved.
Well, it's very deserved, we think. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, let's gather in our closing hymn, and page 366, I Surrender All. Page 366. Let's stand together and sing. Heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly surrender ourselves to you. Lord, we offer you our very best, which truly is ourselves. Lord, that's what you really want most of all. You want us to just give our whole selves to you, our heart, that you might be first in our life, that nothing else would be before you, but Lord, that we would worship you and only you in our life. Lord, make that our offering, I pray, each one of us here today, that we offer the very best, which is us. Lord, we know that's what you desire. Help us to give that, I pray. Bless us, I pray, this evening, even as we gather. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings of Leon being able to serve us on such short notice. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we know that you are at work in this congregation. We feel your presence and we see you're moving. Lord, we thank you now. Bless us as we go, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.